Mark 4:35. I'll go ahead. The horse is saddled. We'll start running. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Have you had fun today? It is my honor and my privilege to be the pastor of this church. I want you to know that. I don't take it lightly. It has been my honor to have friends such as you all. Mark 4:35, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. So the boat's filling with water. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that can even the wind and the sea obey him?" Church, I just want to say this to you. There's a couple of things I want to say to you as you're floating along here in the river of the Spirit. Anytime we see Jesus interacting with the disciples, we need to slow down, and we need to look for a deeper meaning, and we need to look at the nuances of the language, okay? What's really being said here, so that we can see what Jesus is showing us in that moment, okay? And I think too many times we read these verses, we just immediately revert back to whatever we've been taught and so on and so on. But what's really going on? So we're still talking about peace. And we're going to have one more time after this in the future. But we discovered that the wonderful thing about peace is it's not, when we say the word shalom in Hebrew, it's not just a greeting. It's not just nothing missing, nothing broken, although those are true. But when we actually looked at the letters of the word shalom, I'm going to repeat it to you one more time, we found a deeper interpretation. So when you read from right to left, we see that the first picture is that W-looking letter. And it is a picture like of teeth, and it means to destroy. The second letter looks like a shepherd's staff, and it means authority. The third letter is considered an attaching word, and then the fourth letter is associated with chaos. So the conclusion here is that what peace or shalom really means is to destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. To destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. And I'm telling you, from the moment we said that last Wednesday night, week before, I've seen people go free. People have been sending me things. People are really getting the idea that shalom means destroying the authority attached to chaos. So peace is more than peace, y'all. It's more than just the absence of war. Peace is a power. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a power. So, church, let's just look at this. First of all, in case you don't know this, the enemy of your soul is not just all that worried about your anointings or your special talents. And also, he's not looking to go around and burn down every church house. What he wants to do is steal your peace. Because if he can steal your peace, if he can steal your joy, if he can steal those type of things from you, then that's enough just to keep you from doing whatever it is you're called to do. Have you ever tried to witness to someone when you had a lot of anxiety? You probably didn't even try because you were too worried about something or too anxious about something. And you would, excuse me, you'd have to put that off. So it doesn't work to be anxious. It doesn't help. So what we see here in these scriptures is that you could take these verses and you could read them and you could interpret them that peace of God will carry you through a storm. Now, remember, we're looking deeper, just like we did in the word peace. So the peace of God, yeah, it can carry you through a storm. That's not incorrect. God's peace will sustain you. We could go over to Psalm 23 and prove that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? Okay, so we understand that actually peace can help us. There's times when we need that peace. There's times when we're going through a storm. But that's not really what Jesus was teaching right here. Thank you for your enthusiasm about that. So if that were true, then he would have demonstrated how to live in that moment. And he didn't. He didn't demonstrate how to live in that moment. He would have said, okay, guys, let's all grab hands. We're going to pray Psalm 23. Or he would have said, Simon, you pray and we're all going to agree for our safety as we cross here. But it's not about moving through a storm. It was about stopping a storm. Okay, and so he wants to show them something. So we need to look seriously at what he said in the beginning. He said, let us go over to the other side. So that was his aim, that they were all going to go over to the other side. And so when you look at that, you see that where the other stuff has validity, it's okay, but it's not really this scripture that proves that out. This scripture actually proves out that he wanted them to go over by faith. And what we see here is that, and it wasn't a faint impression or some vague idea that he had here. He had literally seen, we're going over to the other side. And so when the wind and the waves kick up, they're afraid. And he says this, why are you so afraid? What's he saying? He's pointing out to them that fear robbed them of their faith. See that? So when he finished speaking to them, then he demonstrated how to handle fear by speaking peace to the chaos. Okay? Are y'all here?
Yeah.
It's quiet after all that shouting we did. So the demonstration here, the teaching here is speaking peace to the chaos. Amen. In other words, there was something bigger than just the wind blowing from the Valley of the Doves over there, over that hill and stuff, which it does every afternoon. But this was bigger when it kicked up. Something behind this was doing this. You're going to like this today. You're going to get something out of this today. So do you remember Jairus? Okay, so he's the leader of the synagogue. Jesus has actually come back from the Gadarenes, come back over there. Jairus is waiting for him because he knew he could do miracles. His daughter was sick. And so she's very ill. Then he has to wait for the woman with the issue of blood because she shows up and Jesus is ministering to her. Jairus is just standing there patiently waiting for Jesus. And then what happens? Here comes someone down the hill from his house and says, Jairus, you don't need the master. Your daughter has already died. Remember that? And what did Jesus say to him? Do you remember what he said? He told him, fear not, only believe. Now, what is he doing? What's Jesus doing? He's releasing peace to guard the heart of Jairus. He's releasing peace. And now his heart is guarded, and now they're walking up there. So when they walk up there, you know what a tumult is? Yeah. Ah, everybody's crying, and so the Middle Eastern people really let it roar, okay? So, I mean, it's a big deal. That's like they do it ceremoniously, you know? And so they're up there, and they're crying, and what does he say? Everybody out. Yeah. He moved the chaos out. And he walked in there and raised that girl from the dead because he moved the chaos out. The realm, the kingdom of God came in there with him. He moved the chaos out and that little girl was raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. That's what peace is. So the point here is don't allow bad news to throw you off your faith and learn how to exercise this peace, this anointing of peace that you have on your life. Keep it at all times. I heard Miss Pat Harrison say, she's the daughter of Brother Hagin. And she said her husband died, but she was already prepared that he was going to die. And she said, I had peace and I kept it. And then she said this, and I still have it. And I refuse to go anywhere without peace. I'm letting it rule my life. I'm not going to live in chaos. Praise the Lord. And she is definitely a peaceful, wonderful lady. Praise the Lord. So we can, no chaos allowed.
Amen.
No chaos allowed. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Shut it down. It's powerful. And God has given us authority to speak to that authority and tell it what to do. Now, something important here. We're really big around here about God being good. It's really a big deal to us. So many people, they go through their lives unconvinced that God is good. I've heard people say such things as, well, he's good sometimes and he's bad sometimes. Because somebody had to invent evil. He didn't. He is good. But I want to say this to you. There is a direct correlation between chaos and an unconvinced mind. There's a direct correlation. Chaos will get in when you're not convinced who God is and how good he is. I was talking to the prayer group this morning and I said, listen, you can't revert back in a situation to some old doctrine you had or some old thinking you had just because it didn't go the way you thought it would go.
Boom.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Well, it was just his time, so he went on to glory. No, no, no. That's not Bible. So you can't say those kind of things and because you don't know the answer. You simply just say, well, I don't know why, but I know that it'll show me in due time. But I stick with the fact that Jesus is the healer. Jesus raises the dead. Healing always comes because that's what the word says. God is always good. And the Bible says, do not err, my brethren. What does it say? You know what it says? That God gives good and perfect gifts. Do not call him the tempter, it says over in James. Don't call him the tempter. He's not the tempter. He does not have evil in him. But we see people that revert to this and then they wonder why there's chaos in their lives. Well, because somewhere in their thinking, they think that it just might be okay to have situations and problems last around their lives. And you know what that is? We call it drama. That's what we call it. We call it drama. Somebody that has drama all the life from one thing to the next to the next to the next and has drama. There's some correlation that keeps them, and it could be something else, but more than likely they don't really believe God and they don't really believe that God is good. Do y'all receive that today? So if you continue in that mindset, in the doubts that God is good, the seeds of unbelief choke out whatever fruit you have, see? And one of those fruits is peace. Amen. And I can just tell you really that believing that God is good is faith at its best. It's faith at its best. Faith is the soil that nourishes the seeds God puts in your heart. And if you have some good, rich ground instead of some rocky and thorny ground, you're going to create an environment to receive. I think we saw that this morning. Bunch of people jumping around with good ground. Bunch of people smiling and being happy with good ground. We're going to rejoice with good ground. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. So, but you know, all rocky ground, thorny ground, filled with chaos. It's filled with chaos. Always drama. So, it is so important to move from hoping that God is good to knowing that God is good. And if you're teetering around on that, I invite you to come on over to the God is good side because he certainly proved it in my life. And I am very grateful for that. Another pitfall is that keeps us from accessing and releasing peace is demonic oppression. And this is something that I know a lot of churches may not talk about, but we will because it's real.
Amen.
And so we have the right to be free from oppression. All of us do. And I understand that there are natural causes for all sorts of issues. I understand that. But I understand this, church, and you need to understand it too. Demons often go undetected, I'm going to say it right, blaming natural causes. Okay? and symptoms for a demonically inspired dysfunction. You see what I'm saying? There are things that automatically, it's just going to be whatever the diagnosis is. Come on. Yeah. It's automatically going to be, well, okay, I'm going to just get up in everybody's business right here. And y'all just going to love me anyway. Yeah. It's automatically going to be ADD. Right. It's automatically going to be depression. It's automatically going to be bipolar. It's automatically going to be. Now, doctors do their best. I'm not knocking them. But a lot of times, sickness, disease, trouble, all sorts of stuff like that is caused by demonic oppression. And the devil doesn't, he doesn't leave anybody alone. He wants to steal your peace. Depression is on the inside. That's an inward temper tantrum. Oppression is a force from the outside pushing on you. You're not demon possessed. You're Holy Ghost possessed. If you'll let him be. But there are demonic forces and familiar spirits trying to work around or near you. And so they're observing you, we will say.
Yeah.
Right, Bree? We talked about that. Bree saw something like that in the spirit. But it doesn't matter what they're observing. They need to see you eating at the table.
That's right.
Yea, though I walk through, you know, to see you eating at the table. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Psalm 23. Okay. Yeah. So, amen. Praise the Lord. But we're not going to let them get any ground. When they drive out there by my place and they see who they're going to drop off, one of the bigger demons says, don't bother to go in there. She'll beat you. She'll beat the tar out of you. Just don't even go down those two driveways out there because they're not going to receive you. That's what Pastor Osteen used to say. He said, they're not even coming down here. They get to know what you'll do and what you won't do. Amen. What we need to understand is the peace we lack is from demonic strongholds. Okay? Strongholds form, and it's numerous things they do. They could come because you had some trauma. They could come bother you because of a habitual sin that you're stuck in. And bad theology. Yeah. And so those are just a few things, but we need to understand that peace and freedom are synonymous with the kingdom. And we are in the kingdom. And so if we're bound by oppression, we're not experiencing that true peace and not able to function in the kingdom like we need to function in it. Amen. So, praise the Lord, it'd be good to do something about that. So, what I'm saying to you is don't just look at natural causes, but the supernatural behind such symptoms. Now I want to say this right here, and we're just about to close, but I'm going to say this right here. Never, ever flinch at the devil. You don't have to be afraid of him or any little demonic monkey that tries to come along. Never. In the natural, you are no match for them, but you're not in the natural. You're supernatural. All you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But see, I think sometimes we try to fight too many causes, too much chaos. We try to fight it like it maybe within our bodies and stuff. Chief sinner here with whatever next vitamin I can find, you know. When sometimes we just need to rebuke that devil. Can I just say it like that? Because, you know, we just have to be honest with it. But how can we fix this? How can we feel better? And don't misunderstand me. I do take my vitamins because God said to. Yeah. God told me to take vitamin C every day for the rest of my life because your body doesn't make it. Right. And so I take it every day of my life. Mm-hmm. And so there are some things that you want to do, and God will lead you to those things that you're supposed to do. But at the same time, if there's a demonic stronghold in an area of your life, you need to get rid of it. It could be in finances. It could be shame. It could be discontentment. It could be lust. It could be whatever. It could be any kind of strong. It could be that maybe You think you know better than everybody else? Maybe you're judgy. Everybody look straight ahead. Brother Copeland asked the Lord, he said, Lord, what's the worst thing the body of Christ does? And the Lord said, it's your dogged determination to correct one another. I think that's still true today. And maybe that's a stronghold in your life. Praise the Lord. So, ask God. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Shine. Let Him shine the light on it. Let Him show you. You know, this could be, if there's something, notice the word stronghold. See, there are strongholds built over thinkings in countries. That's why people have done the cuckoo stuff that you're seeing right now. There's a stronghold. It's when everybody gets their thinking together and they think that the government needs to be our answer. When Jesus needs to be our answer. That's just an example. Okay. So, but for you, for me, we can easily get rid of those demonic strongholds by, can I just say it like this? Casting them out. Throwing them away from you. Amen. And so we just don't want to look at the symptoms. Doesn't mean you're a horrible person. It doesn't mean you're possessed. It means sometimes it's a good thing to be in a local church with a body of friends so someone can help you and pray with you if you need them.
Amen.
Or do it yourself, but do it. Whatever keeps holding you back. Can y'all just tell this is breakthrough time? It is just breakthrough time all around. Amen. So as we close today, and this has been miraculous time because we've done everything, even after throwing that big party we just had. Thank you for the party, Jesus. I'm just asking you today as we close to just take inventory. Just when you get alone this evening, just take inventory and say, okay, Lord, show me. Is there a jam log somewhere here? Am I not breaking through here? Am I staying in a cycle? A cycle maybe I need to get out of. Maybe I just need to move a quarter of an inch to the left so you can take the shot. He wants us to win, church. So if we'll just talk to him, if we'll just ask him, if we'll just where are you stuck in a rut? Are all the issues natural causes, or maybe there's some other issue in your life? Maybe it is a stronghold. It could be possible that it's spiritual torment or that it's an afflicting spirit. One of the biggest things is condemnation. You got to get rid of that. Or just being unsure of the Spirit of God. So I'll say it like this. Run some tests on yourself. Ask the Lord to show you. Don't start navel gazing. Am I bad? Am I bad? Am I bad? But just say, Lord, you know, whatever it is, I want it to show up because I want to be free. I want to walk free. I want everything that you have for me. Amen. Could be that you're just struggling because of something that you could absolutely get rid of. And you know, just use prayer as a tool to treat the root cause that's afflicting you or have someone pray for you. So after all, you don't have anything to lose but a stronghold. You know, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for the price that Jesus has paid for our salvation and our deliverance. Thank you for guiding us into all truth by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. You aren't the Holy Spirit. You are Holy Spirit. You are a person living in us. And we're so grateful for a person of the Godhead living on the inside of us. Today, I take authority as the leader of this ministry. I take authority over every and any evil spirit that is influencing your life or your loved one's life today. I command them to come out in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit from the kingdom of darkness to leave our lives right now. You're sent to your appointed place and you will not return. Father, come and fill us with your spirit. Empower us to walk in freedom, Lord. Equip us, anoint us to cast out demons and set captives free. Let nothing hinder us from accessing your peace. In Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen.